Today's shir is Masechet Kedushin Daf Yud Beis, and we will begin on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. The Gemara continues in giving us different explanations why Beis Shammai requires a dinner for Kedusha Kesef. Now the Gemara brings the explanation that Reish Lakish suggests. Reish Shlomim and Lakish Amar, Tamai de Beis Shammai, the reasoning for Beis Shammai is Chizkiya, as what Chizkiya taught us. Dama Chizkiya, Amma Karava Hefta. The Torah, when it speaks about Amma Avriya and the different ways how Amma Avriya could leave her owner's home, speaks about Hefta. Malamed Shmegaras Mepijoin Avriyotza. She has a right to deduct from the years she already worked, and that amount she should not have, she pays. Meaning as follows. The classical example that's given is that the typical term, how long an Amma Avriya has to work, is 6 years. So let's say the Amma Avriya was sold for 6 more, and now it's 3 years into her term, so she has to pay the Odoin 3 more, representing the 3 years that she has left, that she has not yet worked, and that's how she goes out. This type of payment and way she can free herself is what is known as Giron Kesef. Says the Gemara, I amrit bishlam de yovel of dinner. So if we say, when she originally was sold, a dinner was paid, we could understand how Giron Kesef could be possible. Hanid Megaras for Ozla Pruta. That's how we could understand that there's Giron, because a dinner could certainly be divided up into parts. And that's exactly what happens here, that she was divided into, that dinner would be divided into parts. And depending on how many years she already worked and how many years she has left to work, that's how we would know how much she has to give her owner. Eli Amit, but if you're going to say the Yav La Pruta, that in the first place she could have been sold for a Pruta, Me Pruta Mi Megara, is there a possibility to have Giron Kesef from a Pruta? If she only started off with a Pruta, and now she already worked for some time, so that amount of time is deducted, so we're left with less than a Pruta. Less than a Pruta is not considered Kesef. It's not considered halachic money that Giron Kesef should be passable. Says the Gemara, V'dilma hachikam rachmana. Perhaps what the Torah meant to say is, Heicha diyavla, dinner, in a place where dinner or that type of money was paid, so there is an amount that could be divided, and therefore Giron Kesef is passable, and therefore Giron Kesef is passable Tigrat Pruta. As long as there's a Pruta left, that's how she can make the calculation to pay the Giron Kesef. Heicha, however, if all she was sold for was the Yavla Pruta, if all she was sold for is a Pruta, like Tigra Klau, Giron Kesef is not passable. So who says that when the Torah speaks about Giron Kesef, it means to say that Giron Kesef must always be passable? Perhaps what the Torah means when it speaks about Giron Kesef is that in the case where Giron Kesef is passable, we'll use Giron Kesef. And when Giron Kesef is not passable, then we won't do Giron Kesef. That is a very fundamental Machloikis Harishonim. If by all situations where an Amma Avriya is sold, is Giron Kesef an option on how to free yourself? The opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam, which is very well understood in our Gemara, is that only by the situation where an Amma Avriya was sold for Kesef, that's when Giron Kesef is passable. And the Gemara is saying that therefore Giron Kesef should only be passable when the Amar Havriya was sold for a dinner. However, the opinion of Tosfos Rid is not only in a case where the kinyan of the Amar Havriya was for Kesef, is Geruah and Kesef an acceptable means to accomplish the freeing of the Amavriya? But even in a case, says the Tosfos Rid, that the method of Kinyan was a Kinyan Shtar, still says the Tosfos Rid, Geruah and Kesef is possible. However, ask the Meches Chinuch, and how would Geruah and Kesef work? Because even though the method of Kinyan was perhaps with a shtar, that doesn't mean that the shtar represents the amount of money the owner paid, the adoin paid for that amma. Besides the Kinyan shtar, there clearly was also money exchanged. So asks Meches Chinuch, according to Tosfos Rid, we need to understand the question of the Gemara. Just because the Kinyan didn't have more than a pruta, that doesn't mean that more than a pruta wasn't paid. So just like the Tosfos Rid asked the Meches Chinuch holds, that if there was a Kinyan with shtar, that doesn't take away the ability to do Geruah and Kesef, because Geruah and Kesef will be done not based on the shtar, because the shtar doesn't represent any money, will be based on the amount that was actually paid. Similarly, asked the Meches Chinuch, we shouldn't use the Kinyan Kesef, the money that was paid for the Kinyan Kesef, we should use the amount that was actually paid for the Amma of Ria, and therefore perhaps even if there was a Kinyan Kesef, and even if the Kinyan Kesef only was for a pruta, that doesn't represent the real sale price, and the real sale price should be the amount that we should calculate for Geruah and Kesef. Says the Meches Chinuch, and he actually says that this is actually the opinion of the Sma, that the Sma says that a Kinyan Kesef, there's two ways of understanding a Kinyan Kesef. A Kinyan Kesef could be understood that it represents a token payment, a down payment, but it doesn't represent the whole payment. Or Kinyan Kesef can actually represent that this is the payment. The fact that there's another payment paid besides the token amount that's paid by the Kinyan Kesef, that isn't the real Kesef of this transaction. Suggest the Meches Chinuch, the Tosfos Rid will agree with the Sma, that when there was a Kinyan Kesef, it's the Kesef that was given by the Kinyan that represents the amount that is paid for this transaction, and therefore, if only a Pruta was paid, Geruah and Kesef would be impossible. And in fact, the Mefarshim want to use the concept that we just quoted from the Sma to answer another question, a halacha question. As we have been learning, the opinion of Beis Shammai is that Kedushei Kesef require a dinner. And as we've learned, and we'll learn further in our Shir Mitzvah Shem, a dinner has in it quite a few prutas. So what would be the halacha according to Beis Shammai if one did Kedushin with a dinner, but he only put down a pruta, he only put down part of the dinner? Would that be satisfactory? Or does Beis Shammai, or will Beis Shammai require that the entire dinner be put down? If we're following the opinion of the Sma, which is teaching us that the Kinyan represents, that the Kesef of the Kinyan represents the payment of the Kinyan, and Beis Shammai, as we've been learning, opinion is that the Kesef Kedushin, for whatever reason we're going to learn, must have a dinner, then it will not be satisfactory just to put down part of the dinner. According to Beis Shammai, the entire dinner will have to be put down. Furthermore, says the Beis Halevi, based on this Gemara, that when we speak about Geruah and Kesef, and the Gemara says that if she was only sold for a pruta, then Geruah and Kesef would not be possible because we're left with less than a pruta, says the Beis Halevi, from here we understand that Geruah and Kesef doesn't mean just a deduction, that for whatever years she worked, she doesn't have to pay, and for whatever years she did work, she still has to pay, but rather Geruah and Kesef represents a Kinyan, and it's everybody's opinion, even the opinion of Beis Hillel, that a Kinyan cannot be affected with less than a pruta, and therefore the Gemara correctly suggests, tells us the Beis Halevi, that if there's less than a pruta left, there will not be a possibility for Geruah and Kesef. Says the Gemara, Lois Alkadaitach. So the Gemara was now suggesting that we should learn that Gerua and Kesef does not always have to be an option. Gerua and Kesef can be an option, but it doesn't have to be an option. Says the Gemara, Loisa Kedatef. That approach is not acceptable. Why? Dum Yediyit. We know that the Torah teaches us that the owner or the son of the owner could take the daughter, could take the Omar Avri as a wife, and the Kedushin will be affected through the money that was paid for the Omar. And the Torah, Mayyud. Now, just like Mayyud, do we say, Afagav Dibor Miyad, Viboy Lo Miyad, that Yid is the option of the owner, and therefore we'll suggest, but rather the halach is, Kol Hoichad Lo Motz Miyad, if the Omar is being sold to a person who is an erva to him, let's say she's being sold to a brother, to a grandfather, whatever, where yield would not be possible, loyav zvina zvini. The same, the entire sale would not be valid. Hachnam is similar. Kolechad loy motz megara. If gerua and kesef is not an option, loyav zvina zvini, the sale can't be a sale in the first place. Now continues Beis Shammai. The Kedusha Ish Le Beis Shammai Nafgula Mulam Avriya. And Beis Shammai learns Kedusha from Am Avriya. So just like we have effectively proven that Ma Am Avriya Be Pruta Loi Mekanya, that you can't sell an Am Avriya for Pruta because Geroi and Kesef would not be possible, and we're saying now that Geroi and Kesef must be possible in order for Kedusha to take effect, for the sale of an Amma of Riyah to take effect, af isha b'pruta lai mekacha, so too a woman cannot be sold for less than a pruta. So there's a machlaikis hamafarshim, how to understand this limud that the Gemara teaches us from Yiud to Gerua and Kesef. The Mishnah Lamelech says that there's a hekish that compares Yud to Gerua and Kesef, and just like Yud must be possible, Gerua and Kesef must be possible. The Rishash doesn't actually learn it as a Hekesh, rather he learns it as a Gilui Milsa. Just like we see that this concept is applicable there, here too this concept is applicable. But now, ask the Pnei Yeshua, if we're learning Gerua and Kesef from Yud, so then Kedusha Yud also have to be with a dinner. So why do we have to rely on Gerua and Kesef to teach us that we need a dinner? We should learn it from Yud. So the Mefarshim answer, it's not a, as we just quoted the Rishash, that it's not a complete Hekish, and since it's not a complete Hekish, we have to have each Limud separately. Ask the Gemara. We have effectively proven that we cannot sell an Omar Avriya for only a Pruta, because then Gerua and Kesef would not be possible. However, ask the Gemara of Eimah Palga the dinner. Maybe it should be a half a dinner. Eimah Shtei Prutas, and where Gerua and Kesef would still be possible. Answers the Gemara, Kiyun Dafikta Eimah Pruta. Once we've established that it has to be more than a Pruta, for otherwise Gerua and Kesef is not possible, Okma dinner, we have to establish that it's the coin of dinner. Because as we've explained previously, there were specific coins in existence in the time of Chazal. There was a pruta, there was a dinner. Yes, of course, we could have different denominations of money used. It's similar to what we have nowadays. We have a dollar bill, we have a $5 bill. That doesn't mean something can't be sold for $3, but there is no $3 bill. Now the Gemara offers a final pshat in why Beis Shammai requires a dinner. Rav Amar, Hanu Tama de Beis Shammai. This is the reason for Beis Shammai. Shlo Yeh B'Nos Yisrael Hefker. A dinner represents a respectable amount of money. Anything else doesn't represent such a respectable amount of money. And Chazal were careful that B'Nos Yisrael shouldn't be Hefker, and they insisted on a dinner. There's a machloikis how to understand this teretz of the Gemara. Some mefarshim explain that it's midrabanan. That really midaraisa a dinner a pruta would be enough. The Rabbanon required, because of their requirement for respect of Jewish girls, a dinner. And as we learned many times in Masechta Gittin, they're called Mekadosh, adapted the Rabbanon Mekadosh. Whoever infects a Kedushin does it on the basis of the Rabbanim accepting this condition. If somebody will do a condition with less than a dinner, Chazal will say that it's not an effective condition. However, other Rishonim explain that it means actually Midaraisa. The Gemara is explaining, Rav is explaining that the Torah, according to Beis Shammai, requires that a dinner be used, because the Torah was concerned about treating Jewish women with respect. Anything less than dinner would not represent a respectful kedushin. Beis Hillel Aimrim, a pruta. Beis Hillel said that the amount should be used is a pruta. So Rabbi Yosef wanted to say, pruta kaldahu, that there are, as Klal Yisrael live in different places, and as currencies change, so too does the pruta change. And Rav Yosef thought that the pruta always is always going to be according to what is the smallest coin in the time and place that we're living. Amal Abaya, V'loktana, we learned in our Mishnah, Kami pruta echad mishmoinah b'isra talki, an eighth of an isra talki. So we see that our Mishnah that mentions the eighth of an isra talki, if it's something that fluctuates according to currency, so how could the Mishnah say that it's always echad mishmoinah b'isra talki? It should depend on different fluctuations. V'chi teima, and if you'll say, hani mila b'dar shalmoisha, what the Mishnah means is only in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Aval hocha, but in other places, kirchash filila inshi, Reis Hill would say that any coin that people designate as a pruta, no matter what its value, should be acceptable. Ask them if Rishonim, if that's pshat, that when our Mishnah mentions the coin of being an eighth of an Isser, doesn't mean that that's the way it always has to be. It's only quoting what was the case in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why would our Mishnah need to quote us this? What was, what does it make a difference? So, one teretz that the Ritva gives, so let's say there's a place where there are no small coins. So how should we evaluate what is the minimum amount that can be used for Kedushin? There, we will use the formula that was in existence in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Another teretz that I saw is that, as we explained in the previous year, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel hold, this is the opinion of most Rishonim, that if a woman clearly indicates that she's prepared to accept a smaller amount for Kedushin, then certainly whatever amount the woman indicates that she'll accept, that becomes the amount that can be used for the Kedushin. So what will be the din if a woman indicates that she wants to have Kedushin with the pruta that was in existence in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu? So we'll have to know how much was the pruta in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and because of that, the Mishnah sets forth that formula that we should know what was in existence then, in case a woman wants to use that pruta for the method for her to have a Kedushin. Ask the Gemara. For Kiyasa, Rav Dimi Amar, Rav Dimi came and said, she, Rav Simoi, B'doi, Rekame Pruta, Rav Simoi tried to make a calculation in his generation, how much was a Pruta, and he came up with Echem Mishmoin of Eser Talki. For Ken Kiyasa, Rav and Amar, Rav Dostoy, Rav Yanni, Rav Oishi, Shur, Kama Pruta, they tried to figure it out, Echem Mishish of Eser Talki. The Gemara is going to deal with this, is it a sixth or an eighth? Sunim Mitzashem. But obviously, we see that the Pruta always remains an eighth of an Isra Talki. It's interesting to note that the Chazon Ish and Rav Avram Chaim Noah both discuss how much is a pruta, how much is a echad b'shemayin of Isra Talki, and they come up with an interesting calculation. They say that 22 sa'orim in every gram of silver. So that means that every Sa'ira represents 0.45 of a gram, and if we're saying that that ech mishmar besbatalki as half of a syrah, it's approximately a quarter of a gram of a silver. And even though we have quoted earlier in our Masechta, when we began the Masechta, that the Sma says that nowadays the sheer pruta has changed, because in the time of Chazal you could buy something with the value of a quarter of a gram of silver, but today, even if the price of silver goes up, it's not that high that a quarter of a gram of silver should really represent anything significant. And therefore the Sma wants to suggest that the pruta changes. However, most Paiskim strongly disagree with the Sma, and they say, as our Gemara is teaching us, that the pruta remains the pruta under all circumstances. Amalei Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef says to Abaye, you who say that the number remains fixed, in the Tanina, there was a brice that says, the brice is referring to a situation where somebody was moil behegdish. Somebody misappropriated Hegdish property. That the halacha is that he has to bring a carbon asham ilus. And the Mishnah teaches us that the minimum value of the animal that's brought as a carbon asham ilus is 2 shekel. So the Mishnah makes the Braisa makes a comment. Here the person even had hanor only of a pruta from Hegdish, and yet he's going to have to pay 2,000 prutas. Now asks Rabbi Yosef, hashta paim lo haven, if we're going to make the calculation based on what you're saying, that a pruta is an eighth of an issa talki, it doesn't even reach 2,000, how are you saying yosma paim korele, that it's more than 2,000? For, explained to Rishonim, the calculation goes as follows. There are 96 isser in a cellar. If there are 8 prutas in an isser, and we have 2 sela, so we have 2 times 8 times 96 equals 1536. So how is the Gemara saying that if somebody had a nah worth of a pruta, he has to pay over 2,000 prutas for what he did? It doesn't even equal 1536. Amar Usaba, anah tanina la, I went to Brisa, don't say more than 2,000, say karv l'payim, close to 2,000. Ask the Gemara, even so, soif, as we just made the calculation, alpha v'chamesh mei v'tolos v'shitnun davin, it only equals 1536. How do we call it 2,000? Answers the Gemara, kim de nafkal mipalaga, once it goes past 1,500, karv l'payim karlei, it's already called close to 2,000. We round it off to 2,000. And in fact, I saw based on this Gemara, says the Atzmus Yosef, that let's say somebody was in a Din Torah, and the Natara Paskin, that this person owes close to $3,000. But the Psak does not clearly spell out how much is owned, how much is owed, just as close to 3,000. So just like Al Gemara says, that when we use the number 1536, when it says 1536, it really, when it says 2,000, 1536 is already, 1536 is already considered 2,000, says the Atmos Yosef, in that case the person would only have to pay 2,500, and that would be considered that he already paid off his debt. Says the Margufa, Kiyosu Rav Dimi Omar Shir Rav Sumai B'Doyre Kami Pruta. Rav Sumai made a calculation how much is a Pruta, Echem Mishman B'Satalki, an eighth of an Italian Issa. A sixth. Name of Atu Ravin. Should we say that you and Ravin plucked the honey Tanoi Kamiflagi? You're arguing the same machlokes that we find between these Tanoim. The Tanya, Prutish Amr Chachamim, when Chazal speak about Pruta, is Echem Mishmain of Anissa Talki. How do we come to that calculation? Explains the Gemara. Sheish ma kesef dinner. There's 6 silver ma's to a dinner. Ma, each mana is equal to 2 punyanim. Each punyan is equal to 2 isarim. Each isar is equal to 2 mismisin. Each mismis is equal to shnei kundraken. Each kundrak is worth shtei prutas. Ninsa pruta achas, one pruta is equal to 1/8 of Italian Isser. Because if one Isser is equal to two Musmas, and two Musmas are equal to four Kontroikim, and that's equal to eight Prutas, so we have that each Pruta is 1/8 of an Isser. Rav Shimon Gamliel, however, says, we come with a different calculation. Shloisha adresin l'mor, there's three adresin to a mor. Shnei hanetzim l'hadris, there are two hanetzim in every hadris. Shnei shmonim l'hanetz, there are two shamanin in every hamnetz. Beis prutus l'shamin, there are two prutus to every shaman. Nimtz pruta achas m'shish v'isotalki, because it goes as follows. You have six mor is equal to 18 hadris, because each mor has three hadris. 18 hadres are equal to 36 hainets, because each hadres has two hainets, isn't it? 36 hainets are equal to 72 shaman, because each hainets has in it two shamans. 72 shaman are equal to 144 prutas, because each shaman has two prutas. So each dinner is equal to 144 prutas, and each dinner is also equal to 24 Isser. So if we divide 144 by 24, because each dinner is 24 Isser, we come to the calculation of a Pruta is 1/6 of an Isser. So says the Gemara, Lema de Mar, so we should say that you hold like the Tanakama, that Rav Dimi holds like the Tanakama, that the Shir is Echem Shmoyne B'Isser Talki, for Rav and Domekrim Shimon Gamliel, that the Shir is 1/6. Amalei, so Rav Dimi answered Abaya. Bein the Dimi, bein Rava, both I and Rava, I leave the Tanakama. One, I hold like the Tanakama, because that's the Shir that we usually follow. However, V'loy Kasha, Hadi Eiker Asiri, when the Issers were higher in value, well, Hadi Zoyla Asiri, and sometimes the Issers were lower in value. What does that mean? Hada Aiki Siri, when Issers are high in value, Krum Esser Ba'arab Bezuzo, you get 24 Isser for a dinner. Had Zoyl, but when Issers go down in value, you get Tlosim Vetrain Bezuzo, you get 32 for a dinner. So in the first case, when we said a Pruta is worth 1/8 of an Isser, that's when it was worth 24 to a dinner. So as Rashi explains, there is a constant, the pruta is always at a constant of 192 to a dinner. So if a dinner is equal 24 Isser, so 24 times 8 is equal 192. However, if the Isurim are worth less, that means we still have the constant of 192 prutas in a dinner, but now we have an Isser being 32, so it's 32 times 6 equals 192, and that's where we have the ratio of Echem Shisha B'Setalkin. Amar Shmuel, Kitcha B'Tomorrow, if somebody was Mekadosh a woman with a Tomorrow, I feel I'm at car tomorrow at dinner. Even if one date doesn't certainly equal a pruta, because you could buy a whole car for dinner, mekudeshes. She's still mekudeshes. Chashinen shema shava pruta b'modai. We have to be concerned that maybe it's worth that much in modai. Modai tamarim were expensive, and even though here a tamar is not equal to pruta, maybe it's worth that much in modai. Ask the Gemara Banan Tanam Beisel Oimrim Bepruta B'Shavapruta. We learned in our Mishnah that a Kedusha must be a Pruta or a Shavapruta. So how can we suggest that it's enough, that maybe because it's a Modai it's worth more, we should have a Kedusha? Like Kasha, Haba Kedusha Vadai, Haba Kedusha Safik. Of course, for it to be a full-fledged Kedusha, we have to know that it's worth a Pruta. But it is a Kedusha Safik, if we have a question how much that it may be worth a Pruta Modai. And as we have said earlier, certainly if the woman is agreeable to accept Kedusha for a lower amount, whatever the woman is prepared to accept, that becomes a valid Kedusha. Al Gemara, as we said earlier, is discussing a situation where the woman wants a Pruta, and it's Question is, it may not be worth a pruta here, but it may be worth a pruta elsewhere. So now there's a machlokes rishonim. What is going to be the halacha if we know for sure that this tamar, even though it's not worth a pruta here, is worth a pruta in Mondai? What will be the halacha? The Rambam's opinion is that the kedushin is considered a valid kedushin, since it's worth a pruta modai. However, there are other rishonim that make the following qualification in the opinion of the Rambam. They say that the only time that the Rambam holds his opinion is only when the pruta is only when the item that's being used is an item that is can be delivered to modai and remain intact, where it's not a perishable food. They lived in a time where there were no refrigerators and freezers. So if it's a perishable food, there we have to be concerned that it won't make it to Madai. And there even the Rambam will agree that's not acceptable kedusha. The Rambam is referring to non-perishable food. The Rosh and the Rambam, and the Rajba, however, but it's interesting to note that even these opinions in the Rambam that make a distinction between a perishable and a non-perishable do say that even if it's a perishable, but there's a way to preserve it that it could arrive in Madai, says the Marik, then the Kedushin would be a Kedushin. The Rosh and the Rajba, however, disagree, and they say it's only a Gzeirah Midrabanan why the Kedushin is a Kedushin, even if we know for sure that's worth a Pruta in Madai. For they explain, really, the Kedushin is not a Kedushin, because we have to go according to the place where the Kedushin is actually being done. And if over here it's not worth a Pruta, it's not a Pruta. Their only reason they're concerned was because maybe somebody from Madai is here, and he sees us making a Kedushin with this Tamar. He knows that this Tamar is worth a pruta where he lives, and now he's going to see that the kedushin is not a kedushin. So midrabanan Chazal made gzeira, the kedushin should be considered kedushin midrabanan. But it's interesting to note that the chelkas mechaykik tells us that all of this discussion amongst rishonim is where the woman doesn't intend to go to Madai. But in a situation where even though the kedushin is taking place here, but the woman clearly has intention to go to Madai. And in Madai, we know that this item is worth a pruta. The halacha is that would be a valid kedushin. However, the Beis Shmuel asks a question. How can we suggest that the kedushin would be a kedushin? We don't have Edom. The Edom have to see the kedushin. And since they don't see an item worth a pruta being given to this woman, how can we suggest that we have here a valid kedushin? Says the Stipler, a very important klal. He says, it's not the job of the Edom to see the Kedushin take place. It's the job of the Edom to see the Maisa Kedushin. They don't have to see the effectiveness of the Kedushin. And therefore, since they see an item being transferred from the husband to the wife, the fact that it's not worth a pruta here, that only speaks to the effectiveness of the kedushin. That does not speak to the act. And all Edom have to see is the act. But on the other hand, the Paiskim do point out, from here we see that it's crucial that the Edom see the actual act of kedushin. And therefore, the minig is, that even though, as we have said, the minig is that the kala usually wears a veil over a face during the chuppah, it is important that the Edom see indeed that this is the kala standing under the chuppah. There are paiskim that are somewhat lenient, and they say, since we know that this is the kala at this wedding, and they see here before the chuppah and after the chuppah, we can rely on the chazakah that this was the kala under the chuppah. Says the Gemara, Hu gavra the agdish bezav de urdi. There was a man that made kedusha with a bundle of felt, a flak, which wasn't obviously worth a pruta. Yosef shtimi b'chiyah kamei d'rav v'kama'ayim ba. Iyas b'shav pruta in. If it's worth a shav pruta, we have a valid kedushin. Iloi loy. Ask the Gemara, v'les b'shav pruta loy. If it doesn't have a Shav Pruta, is it automatically not a Kedushin? From Shmuel, we just learned the previous Gemara, Chashinen, we have to be concerned that maybe it's worth a Pruta elsewhere. Says the Gemara, what they meant was, Loi Kasha, Habe Kedushin, Vadai. What we're saying that it's not a Pruta, what it means is that it's not a, if it's not worth a Pruta, we don't have a Kedushin Daraisa. The Kedushin Sofik, we certainly would have. The Shev Shmaitza proves from here a very interesting point. He asks, how do we know that now, just because now it's worth a pruta, it was worth a pruta when the kedushin took place? Maybe when the kedushin took place, it was worth less. So why was my determining now that's worth a pruta going to help? Says the Shev Shemaitza. From here we see that if it's impossible to verify the value of something, to verify what was the value of something when it was used. So when halacha accepts that the present, current evaluation is an acceptable means of creating an evaluation. It says the Gemara, who gavered the agdish ba'ovna de kuchla? There was somebody that was mekadish with a blue stone. Yosef Chizda Kamashale, Rav Chizda was trying to evaluate E is by Shava Pruta. If it's worth a Pruta in, we have a Kedushin. Filoi, but if it's not worth a Pruta, loy, we don't have a Kedushin. Ask the Gemara, for less by Shava Pruta, loy, and if it doesn't have a Shava Pruta, it's not a valid Kedushin. Vam Shmuel Chashin, and then we just quote Shmuel that says that we're always concerned that maybe Shava Pruta b'madai. Says the Gemara, Rav Chizda loy Shava loy de Shmuel. Rav Chizda doesn't agree with Shmuel. And the Rishonim ask, why do we have to say that Rav Chizda doesn't hold like Shmuel? Maybe we could say, like we said in the previous Teretz, that he doesn't hold that it's a Kedushin Daraisa, but he would agree that it's a Sofik Kedushin. So Rishonim explained, because the story was with two brothers, and he allowed her to marry the second brother and not be concerned with the first Kedushin at all. Amrlei Ima. So Rav Chizda says that the Kedushin was not worth a Pruta. For who Yoyma? So Rav Chizda said there was not worth a pruta, and therefore the kedushin was invalid. However, the mother of the first of this man said to Rav Chizda, of the first man said, "Vahu yom de katcha, I know that that day have ba shava pruta. It was worth a shava pruta." Amalai. So Rav Chizda said to her, "Lav kol kminecht asras al basra. You don't have a right to say that. That would cause that the second kedushin should become invalid." And as Mefarshim point out, even though there's normally a concept of Shavya Nafsha Chaticha de Yisura, a person has a right to say that I'm a married woman. So she is saying that I am a married woman, and why should she not be believed? So the Mefarshim answer, we only accept the concept of Shavya Nafsha Chaticha de Yisura when it's not to the detriment of someone else. Here, it's to the detriment of the first husband. Therefore, we don't say Shavya Nafsha Chaticha Isura. Says the Gemara, and says Rav Chizda, a precedent for what he said. Lav Hani the Yehuda Devista Reb Chiya. Don't we find the exact same story by Yehudas, the wife of Reb Chiya, Davalei Tzar Leida, that she had Tzar Leida when she was giving birth to twins. Amalei, so she said to Reb Chiya, Amalei Aim, my mother told me, when you were small, your father accepted kedushin from you, from another man, and therefore Rav Chiya has no right to live with you. You're an Eishes Ish. Amalei, and obviously she was saying this because she didn't want to continue having relations with him. So she said to him, Lav kol kminech, you're not believed. You can't believe that story because it's to the detriment of the husband. Amalei Rabbanan Rav Chizda, Amai, why are you saying that the first man's kedushin is totally invalid? Hekasadi b'idjis, the Adam and Idjis is the name of a place. The Yadid Bahu Yoima, that we could say that we know that they know that that day have a shapruta, the stone was worth a pruta. Says Rav Chizda, hash the mi'elai lesson to come on. Here, the men aren't here, and therefore, I don't have to be concerned about them. Lav hainu Rav Chanina, says Rav Chanina, isn't that the same way Rav Chanina said? Dom Rav Chanina, where there was a concern about a woman who was kidnapped and the concern if she's allowed to go back to her husband, if it's a kayin, a debit sat istim, if the edim are in the north, v'tiyasir, and she becomes forbidden to marry a kayin, we're not going to be concerned for that. Similarly here, the fact that witnesses exist in another place doesn't have to be taken into account. Says the Gemara, Abai v'rova, l'shirle l'Rav Chisda. Abai and Rava do not agree with Rav Chisda, who allowed her to be married to the second man, because we have to be worried about the witnesses. I would see by the case of Shvuya that we're not concerned. Says the Gemara, imekilu b'shvuya, if Chazal were make by Shvuya, the menavel nafshigah b'shvuya. A Shvuya does things to make herself look disgusting, and therefore her kidnappers will not have relations with her. She would be lenient. Why does a shvuya make herself look disgusting? Menavla nafsha. So Mefarshim give two explanations. One explanation is because she actually doesn't want to have relations with the kidnapper, so she does everything to make herself repulsive to him. Another pshat is she knows that the kidnappers set the ransom about what they believe is her value. So if she doesn't look nice, they're going to assume that nobody's going to be interested in redeeming her, and therefore she makes herself look less attractive to lower the ransom value. So Mefarshim asked, the Gemara drew a distinction between Eishes Ish and Shvuya. But in both situations, asked Tosfos, we're dealing with an Issa Deraisa. For as we have learned many times, a Kohen may not marry a woman who had relations with a man who's Asa to her. So how could the Gemara draw a distinction between a Shvuya and Eishes Ish? So some say because the Isser by a Kohen is only an Issa Laf. However, by a Eishes Ish, it's a Chiyuv Karis, so it's a much greater Aveira. Another difference is, a Shvuya has a Cheskas Pnuya, that she's a single girl and we rely on the chazaka. This woman no longer has that chazaka, and therefore we can't rely on it. Says the Gemara, Ishtar Mahu Mishpach Basura, Rav Chisda, according to Rav Chisda's Psak, she remained married to the second man, and there was left over in that, from that family in Surah, or Parsh Rabbanim in Ney, and nobody wanted to marry that into that family. There was a question of the children from that family were Mamzerim. V'lav, not because of the concern of what Shmuel said, but rather because the Srilik Abai Varava, that Abai and Rava just taught us that the concern, because we had Edim, because there was a call that there were Edim, and we rely on that, and that's why they were concerned that the first Kedushin was a valid Kedushin. Says the Gemara, who gathered the Agdash Beshita the Asa Beshuka? There was somebody who made Kedushin with Hadassim in the marketplace. Shocher of Achabar Hunel Kamed Rav Yosef Kegav Namai. What is the halach in such a case? Sholchle Nagde Karav. We should give him Malkus, like Rav said. As the Itzruch Gita Gishmul. But on the other hand, we have to be concerned that maybe somewhere this bunch of Hadassim is worth a pruta, and since it's worth a pruta, we have to be concerned that there's a kedushin. The Rav Mangid Aman the Kaddish Bebiya. Rav would give Malkus on somebody who is Mekaddish Bebiya. The reason Rav did that was two explanations I saw. Because if you're going to be Mekaddish Bebiya, you're going to need to have Edom, at least outside, which is very not sneistic, and therefore Rav gave Malkus. Another pshat I saw is the person who's Mekadosh his wife Bebiya, what is he declaring? He's declaring that the entire purpose of his marriage is just the Bebiya, and that is obviously inappropriate. That's not the entire purpose of a Jewish marriage, and therefore he gave Malkus to such an individual. Obviously when we speak here, we speak about Malkus Mardus. There's a Machloikus, what is Malkus Mardus? Some say Malkus Mardus is the same number as regular Malkus Deraisa, 39 Malkus. Others say Malkus Mardus is less. Some suggest it's only 13 or only 3 Malkus. And some actually suggest it's more, as much as the Bezdin sees fit should be given. Furthermore, he gave Malkus a man, the Mekadosh B'loi Shiduchi. If somebody marries a woman without first having a proper agreement with her, Mefarshim say it doesn't have to be necessarily in writing, but they have to be first properly engaged. The Mefarshim ask, why do we give Malkus? Why don't we just say that his act is considered halachically meaningless? So answer Rabbi Kivega. When do we say the klal of Kamil Stam Rachmana Loisavidi Ovid Loi Mahani? Is when, by saying that, we've accomplished something. Here, the person who was ready Makadish Babiya, somebody who was ready Makadish B'loi Shaduchi, the deed has been done. By making this statement, we won't accomplish anything, and therefore we don't say the klal I Ovid Loi Mahani. There's also an interesting question. What happens if it ends up that these kedushin that were made b'loy shaduchei end up not being a valid kedushin? Is he still subject to malchus or not? It's a machlokes. Some say that the act of pritzus has been already done, and therefore malchus is given. Others say it's only when there was a kedushin. If there's no kedushin, there's no malchus. Also, there's a question: who is the one that receives the malchus? The Shus Yankov wants to suggest it's only the man that will receive the kedushin, the malchus, not anyone else. The next case that he gave malchus madus to was a man devatal gita. If somebody designated a shlich to bring a get, and before the get was delivered, he was mevatal the shlichus, the halach is that the get that he gets malchus. Rashi learns that he told the shliach that is being mevatal the get, but we're still concerned that the shliach will deliver the get. Tosfos, however, disagrees, because Tosfos says we don't have to be concerned that if the husband specifically told the shliach not to deliver the get, that he's still going to deliver the get. Therefore, Tosfos says that the case we're referring to is where he appointed a shliach to deliver a get, but he was mevatal the get in front of a bezdin, that the shliach is not aware that this happened. Vadam Masim Adar Gita, similarly somebody who serves notice that the get that he's writing against his will, and the woman's going to rely on the get, even though it's not a good get. Vadam Mitzar Shluch Derbanan, somebody who harasses court shliach. Some say that he gets nidui, some says he gets malchus. The Paiskim say it really depends on the situation, what Bezdin considers is a more fitting punishment. Also, they say that it's not specifically when the shliach bezdin is coming to tell to summon him to the entire, but anybody who doesn't treat the shliach bezdin properly. Somebody who leaves a cheirma on himself for 30 days. Valchasna, the daughter bechamua, and a son-in-law who lives in his father-in-law's home. Says the Gemara, the dire in, the only issue is if he lives there, chol afloy, which means that if he just passes by his mother-in-law's home, there's no problem. Says the Gemara, who chasna, the chol of Abba de Bechamur, there was this chasin who walked by his mother-in-law's home, for Nagdi Rav Sheshis, and Rav Sheshis gave him malchus, even though he didn't live there. Says the Gemara, who made him have a diamond chayim shemnei? There we had a specific suspicion between the son-in-law and the mother-in-law. Normally, it's only if he lives there. However, says Nadoi, but Kula Laman Gid Rav, in all situations Rav did not give Malkus, Ella Mekadish Bibiya B'lo Shaduchei, if somebody makes Kedushin with Bia without prior having Kedushin, but if Ikad Amri, Vila B'Shaduchei Nami, even if there was a previous engagement, still, if the Kedushin with Bia, he gave Malkus, because it represents Pritzusa, it represents Pritzus. And the Rishonim Tosfos and all the Paiskim discuss, here the Gemara mentions how a son-in-law may not live in the home of his mother-in-law, yet we know it's very common that son-in-law and daughter do come to their in-law's home. How do we accept that? So one pshat is that we go according to what we just learned, and Hadoi taught us. And Hadoi teaches us that Rav really was only speaking to the case of Mekadosh Babiya, not to any other cases. Others say, the Ravid says, that if the son-in-law and daughter are living in the girl's parents' home and they're not paying rent, So now they have a real financial gain by living there. Therefore, it's not an issue. Others suggest that it's, if it's a case where they have their own private room, so then there is no issue of a son-in-law and daughter remaining in the home of the parents of the daughter.